Welcome back for another episode of Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. Number 70, to be exact. A dumb birthday game from January 20th, 1996 is on tap today. Let's call this one Jovial Jocular January Jesters. It begins with some entertaining banter between Norm, producer Ed LeClaire, and Jack Hart. Subjects include angry radio hosts, Norm's contract slash job description, seasonal affective disorder, rickets, and the mummified remains of former broadcasters. The additional players are Don and Middleton, with just a lovely thought for the day, our dear friend Norma from the North End, Russ and Peabody, and Wes from Hampton, New Hampshire. Celebratory celebrities, George Burns, which prompts a sweet discussion of his life and career. Ray Anthony, Artie Johnson, Lorenzo Lamas, and Wes has some details about his family farm. Slim Whitman, Edwin Buzz Aldrin, Patricia Neal, and Shelley Fabre. Or is it Shelley Fabaris? Well, you'll hear them talk all about that. There's one event, too, to close it out. And that is, what year did the U.S. Senate approve an agreement to lease Pearl Harbor in Hawaii as a naval base? Episode 70, Jovial Jocular January Jesters, begins now.
It sounds like bizarro, what I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Things,
or the Far Side.
The Far Side, like that would have been something like that. That is Eddie. We call him Eddie LeClaire. His real name is Eddie LeClaire. I guess that's why we call him that. Anyways, our producer, and you're one of the panelist members, and kind of a stalwart, in the sense that you play the game every time we have a game.
Kind of a fixture.
A fixture. I was trying to say, yeah, fixture, I thought. And another fixture is Jack Hart, the WBZ 24-hour traffic network ace reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, no alarm.
He's drowning in the notable puddle out there.
His tongue is wagging. His tongue is wagging. That's right.
I heard Jack talking about the notable puddle. I forget where it was, but I was wondering how big a puddle would actually have to be before it would reach notable status.
The entire town of Burlington is submerged.
That's right, yeah. Do not go to Burlington, Massachusetts. The town is submerged and has been evacuated of all animals. They've allowed the people to stay, however.
And to think it used to be a dry town.
That is, you know, one of the worst jokes I ever heard. So are the roads really icy? Because when I drove in, and I know that's several hours ago, but the roads were kind of dry, like there was nothing, they were not wet for anything
to dry.
Well,
what do I know? I took the subway.
I guess, you know, I took major roads, as you know. Mm-hmm. I come through the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut.
Oh.
I go through the New York Thruway, and then I come down through Wisconsin. I don't know, I want to avoid traffic on the Tobin Bridge so badly. I end up down on the Cape and up across the Bourne Bridge, and here I am.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can't do the dumb birthday game because I better start going now. It's a long trip. let's all giggle and laugh. Last night, I was tuning to radio.
Mm-hmm.
This is not aimed at anybody specifically, but I was going up and down the dial, and everybody is so angry. And I thought, please, you know, it's like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Why is everybody yelling at each other?
And Hillary Clinton and those papers in Silver Watergate, White Watergate, whatever the hell they call that.
And then the other stations they've got sports.
NFL defenseman came out there and hit that.
But they're angry too. Everybody is angry. And we in radio seem to bring that out to us.
Well, you know what the problem with late night radio and people being angry? They're grumpy from not enough sleep.
Ah. You think that might be it?
Yeah.
Maybe we should just shut the radio stations down at night. The world, you think, would become much, much more mellow.
It would be a happier place. Unless, of course, shows like yours, where, you know, you really don't allow people to get too sort of angry and heated up. You know, people who allow their guests and callers to get heated up, shut them off.
Yeah, but that's...
Tell everybody to go to sleep.
I suppose that's true, but these programs, the gist of it, that's the whole idea of it, is to get people angry. They figure, oh, we're creating controversy, we get people ready to stab each other in the neck.
I think
rip off their throats, and this is good radio. It gets us audiences.
I think it's a supply and demand thing. They know that there are insomniacs out there who are grumpy from not sleeping, so they tell people, well, call in and tell us how grumpy you are about this.
So they set up a forum for grumpy insomniacs.
Yeah. Grumpy insomniacs.
What about if we just reverse the order of... This probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to say it anyway, because nobody said, at least that wasn't in the job description that I had to make sense. Didn't say that. Said, just show up here, talk on the phone all night, but it didn't say you have to make sense. So what I was thinking of, maybe people could just sleep during the daytime so they wouldn't be so grumpy at night. Do you think if they slept during, got a good day's sleep?
No, because they wouldn't get that all-important sunshine on their shoulders. They would have seasonal affective disorder all year long, and everyone would turn into vampires and get the rickets.
That's right. You must have been reading the New England Journal of Health. They just did an extended study on rickets, and that's where it comes from. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah. Rickets comes when people get overly angry.
Overly angry.
Oh, really?
Don't get sleep enough and don't get out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And also lack of eating yeast vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a combination of all those things.
Like those yeasty. I understand that the sales of yeasty vitamins are on the rise.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, it's the yeasty vitamins and the pistachio ice cream. That they have this is in the New England Journal of Medicine also.
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. Oh, you should read it. It's in the WBZ library up on the 46th floor next to the Museum of WBZ Broadcasters.
I'll go check it out.
Have you ever looked at the mummy section? We get a lot of dead announcers up there who've been mummified and that are lying there.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the whole exhibit, actually.
Yeah, we were suggesting at one point that maybe a plaque would do.
I know, it's amazing.
And they said, no, never mind the plaque. Let's go the whole route.
Well, some of them are still on the air.
Let's take them out and dry them.
Yeah, some of them probably could still do a program and nobody would notice the difference. Let's not play the dumb birthday. Let's just talk silly like this the whole hour. Want to do that? Okay. Okay, we do have other people who probably would like to play the game, although God knows why. And I'm behind about 700 gifts, you know, my junky gifts that I give to the winners of this kind of thing. Some people are saying, you know, I was just a boy when I won the game. I was 12 years old. I'm now 83. I haven't gotten your junky, tasteless, tacky gift. When is it going to come? Is it just a crazy dream? I get calls like that all the time. No, it'll come. I just haven't been well. I have a canker sore on my tongue.
Ooh,
that's why I'm not wagging it quite as much. Anyway, Don works in Middleton, but he's actually not from Middleton, but he likes to pretend he is because he knows it's fashionable and a high-rent district. Yeah. How you doing, Don?
How's it going, Norm?
Well, let me ask you. You've been listening. I think it's been going great, but then again, I may be prejudiced.
Well, see, I'm one of those guys who are up all night. I get the graveyard shift over here.
Okay, does that mean you're going to yell at us?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I read that people who do sleep during the day and are up all weird hours, they tend to not live as long, I guess. I don't know. That's what it said.
Mm. Oh, well, we'll try to prove them wrong, won't we, fella?
Yeah.
I've already proved them wrong.
Well, I told my wife, I said, well, we'll find out if I die within the next 15 years or so.
And she said, what a lovely thought, Don.
Yeah.
And have you made out your will and left everything to me? And please do that immediately.
Well,
I don't think Don found that terribly amusing.
That's all right.
Okay, we have Norma in the North End, who's will be playing the game with us. Norma, who grew up in, was it Watertown, you said?
Yeah.
Watertown.
Yeah. Nice town.
And you said, that's too far from Boston. I've got to live right in the hub, right in the center of everything. Because...
Well, it really is Watertown now.
Boston is Watertown.
Is this what we're going to get for the next hour? Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, I say, okay.
Right, at least no one's yelling at each other.
Yeah, but it isn't so much Watertown. It's Ice Town.
Puddle Town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Hey,
yes.
What do you mean that's Ice Town and Puddle Town? That's Watertown. That's a good town.
What a wit.
Okay.
Maybe I'm only half right.
We have...
You know, I used to be in the textile industry. I used to be a nitwit.
We have Russ from Peabody who is with us. Hi, Russ.
Hello, Norman.
Oh, that was a frog. Was that because your throat kind of frogged up, or do you talk that way?
No, I was going to tell you the tweet of the night was your throat clearing episode. It was absolutely delightful.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, I would love to.
It's starting to cloud up again. Okay. I try to do it with a certain amount of éclat, as we say in France, éclat. A certain amount of sensuousness and kind of a sexual quality which drives the women crazy. Between that and rattling papers. Okay, here's the way I clear my throat. That doesn't drive everybody into the bathroom.
I become a little erotic myself when I hear that.
Yeah. That's the only way to do it. I've won many a woman. Yes, sir, with that kind of throat clearing.
Wow. You know, it's too bad that BZ isn't more entertainment-oriented earlier in the day. You know, that I'm sure would be requested often.
You know, I would be listening to you during the day all day.
You know what I could do? Maybe we could work it out with David Brudner, and I could come on and clear my throat a lot in his show and say really interesting things like this. He would really love that. Show me, David, it's time to clear my throat. Hold on before you start blasting Hillary Clinton again, okay? And the public school system turning out illiterates. Before you get into that speech for the 9,000th time, let me clear my throat.
Maybe what we could do, you know, instead of that tone that we always play at the top of each hour, we could just play a recording of you clearing your throat, and that would let people know.
It's funny, at one point they used to say, at the time at the tone or the time at the sound or something, will be, you know, whatever, 4 o'clock or what. And then they would play something. We could do that. That's what the time.
It reminds me when I was a kid, my father used to clear his throat at night.
At the sound of Norm retching, it will be 3:26.
I'm talking. I'm giving a story here. That's fascinating. And your story is boring, Don. So give way to the old storyteller. Now I forgot what the story was. I remember now when Norm and I were first married, we lived. Let's bring in Wes. Poor Wes is up in Hampton, New Hampshire. We haven't even brought him in yet. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Norm.
Okay, you're in now, so now we can move along. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we lived in this little third floor walk-up where the windows didn't quite fit. It was in a reconditioned attic. And the houses were close together. And there was a guy next door who used to cough like that all day and all night. And I wondered, you know, it's almost like, let's listen, because he sounds like he's not going to survive another hour or two. This guy is gone.
I may have to head to the bathroom, Norm.
Yeah, I don't blame you. This is kind of a sickening discussion, isn't it? Okay, we'll get off this. Okay, are you all set to guess the ages of people born on this day, January 20th? All excited, everybody?
Woo-hoo-hoo.
How about you other panel members? What do you think?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, they're enthusiastic. Okay. Okay, today, now this is, we'll start out with the easy one, okay? George Burns.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. George Burns, let's see. I guess they had a party for him during the week, although January 20th is his actual birth date. He was not scheduled to perform at the party. In fact, he didn't even attend the party. A bathtub fall last year in advancing age hampering his ability to deliver one-liners, although it says not his taste for cigars. The comedian's birthday actually falls Saturday, which, of course, is today. He's to be saluted at a dinner in Los Angeles, which coincides with Burns. Well, the rest is kind of boring anyway, but it's just too bad, because way back about 10, 12 years ago, he said he would be performing at the London Palladium on his 100th birthday if he could be assured of getting a good dressing room, and we all laugh, you know. But he came very close to doing that. Then I guess he was already, in the past couple of years, was signed up to perform in Las Vegas, but
the fall really did him in. And of course, he figures he just doesn't have this. There's not the stamina there, and it's too bad.
Hmm.
Okay, Don, what do you think? How old is George Burns?
97.
Okay. Norma, what do you think?
100.
100. Okay, Russ?
100.
100. Wes?
100. Can I give you another line that he said about the Palladium?
Absolutely.
It was about 10 years ago. He said he was looking forward to it, and he hoped the Palladium was still around.
Yeah, that's right. I understand that. I thought he got even funnier as the years went by. Ed, how old do you think?
100.
100, and Jack?
He's 100.
That's right. So, tell me, Gracie, where's your brother?
He once said, he says, you know, people tell me I've got a great talent, and I've got the marriage license to prove it.
That's right. You know, when he first went, incidentally, he is 100, by the way, so... when he first went into the entertainment, he always mentions the fact that he was the comic, and Gracie Allen was the straight person. She just, you know, give one two line answers, and he said, "You got more lines and more laughter than he did with his whole routine." So they reversed roles, and he said for 37 years or something like that, he didn't have to do anything except what I just did. So tell me, Gracie, how's your brother? He said he'd say that, and he'd just step back and he'd do the whole act. And he was on vacation all that time. But after she died, you know, he got in the Sunshine Boys. Remember that?
Right.
Jack Benny had... this sounds like a morbid program, but Jack Benny had just died. And Jack Benny was assigned that role work with Walter Matthau in the Sunshine Boys. Yeah, so George Burns took over. And he was superb. And as an actor in the Oh God films and all of that, I think he's just... He really came into his own at a very advanced age.
Mm-hmm.
There was a made-for-TV movie on one time where he was somebody's grandfather living in somebody's house, and at one point they come around to the back of the house, and he was sort of napping on the back porch, but he wasn't wearing his hair. And you know, you never see him without the hair. And
that's
this
right.
One time you did, and it was just kind of funny to see him. And as he says that, you know, nowadays he gets up and he plays a little bridge, has a couple of martinis, and he takes off the hair, takes a nap, and goes back. And...
Excuse me, please. Was that a TV show you're talking about?
Yes.
That was Wendy and Me with Connie Stevens.
I think you might be, yep, sounds about right.
There was a life story with him on A&E. They even showed when they had the funeral for Gracie.
Mm. Oh, really? Was that one of their biographies?
Yeah. You know, they showed him attending to the funeral and stuff. And they said he was, like, for a while, I think it was a couple months at least, you know, he didn't talk to anybody.
After she died?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they were very close. He wrote, well, he's written a number of books. I assume he's written them. Certainly he's dictated them anyway.
If you read them out, because I've read a few of his books. I read Gracie, and if you read them, then it's genuinely his language
No, that's true. It sounds like him. And the book Gracie you mentioned is very poignant in the sense that she had a lot of pain, physical pain in her life.
Yeah.
Because of some illnesses and all that kind of thing. But apparently we just moved ahead anyway, and he was really very proud of her for that.
Yeah, he discussed one time how he bought her a $10,000 mink coat just to make her feel better, and she thought she was getting well, he says, because George would never spend $10,000 on a mink coat for me if I was going to go.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Of course, he was born Nathan Birnbaum, was his original name. And it's kind of interesting. He never hides that any more than he hides his toupee. You know, he was always a very open, interesting kind of guy. Anyway, the world would be dimmer, I think, if George Burns were not around. It's nice to have him. Even it's too bad he's ill, but it's nice to have him as part of the race.
He'll always be there. He'll always live forever.
Well, yeah, he's done so many things that even after he's gone, you will be reminded of him. Movies and old radio shows and all of that, TV shows. Today is also the birthday of Ray Anthony, the orchestra leader. And let's see, what can I tell you about Ray Anthony? He looks a lot like, I haven't seen him lately, like Cary Grant. And he was
Well, I always had a decent orchestra. I forget who he was married to.
Mrs. Anthony?
I think that was her name, yeah. I was going to say Mrs. Nussbaum, but I think maybe you're right. I forget. It was a well-known and very attractive actress, Ray Anthony. Jack, what do you think?
Ray Anthony, well, I'm trying to think. The song Opus 1, Ray Anthony, you can rock it for me. Now, that song ain't new.
Well, Opus number 1 was actually written by Cy Oliver for the Tommy Dorsey Band. Did Ray Anthony also play that?
Well, there's a line in there. Ray Anthony, he can rock it for me, yeah, no doubt.
Oh, I see.
So I'm trying to think, how old was that song?
The song came out in the 40s. In the probably the early 40s.
Okay.
Does that help at all?
So yeah. I would say that
he was in some movie, by the way. I just mentioned this, and I'll be quiet. But well, not quiet for long, of course. But anyway, the fact that he looked at that time a lot like a thinner, younger Cary Grant. Maybe not a younger Cary Grant. Yeah, I guess he was a little younger than Cary Grant. In any event, he did, in some movie he was in, or TV show, he did an imitation of Cary Grant, which was really spooky. You know, with the, oh, Joe DiGenny's back, you know, that funny way that Cary Grant had of walking, kind of almost clumsy in some,
sort of
in
lean,
some ways.
Yeah.
Kind of leaning backwards or something while he walked. Okay.
Oh, Ray Anthony. He is going to be, how long is it since Cary Grant died? He was in his 80s when he died. He's 84.
84. Okay. Ed, what do you think?
I think 79.
79. Wes, how old do you think Ray Anthony is?
81.
81. Okay, Russ?
Oh, my goodness. I've got to say 81 also.
81. Okay, and Norma?
I'm going with 81.
Okay. 81 what? Years. I'm going with 81. It just seemed like the opening to a fad show.
$81.
Okay. I thought 81 redheaded men or something like that.
Oh,
anyway, Don, what do you think? How old is Ray Anthony?
I would have to say 77.
77. 77 actually is the closest.
Mm.
He's only 74. He's younger than, I guess, what all of you said. Yeah, 74. I think that's probably about right.
Well, I know when Opus 1 was made because my father has the actual 78 record of the original Opus 1.
Mm. With Tommy Dorsey?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
And it was like 1944, 45 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I figured, well, he's probably around 30 years old at the time, so you figure, you know.
30 and 50, yeah, that comes out to 70.
So he was in the 70s. He had to be in the 70s. He couldn't be that high, 80, so I figured 77.
No, you did okay. Okay, let's see. Wait a minute. How about Artie Johnson? You remember Artie Johnson from?
Oh,
the,
yeah.
From Laughing. That's
sure. A very
interesting. He was around a little bit after that, and then kind of dropped out of sight.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. He sort of made little guest appearances and cameos in different movies.
Yeah.
You know where he's making his money from these days is crossword puzzles.
Really?
You know, if you look in crossword puzzles, it always says comedian Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're right. Your crossword puzzle, not also, are you?
Oh, by the pound.
Yeah, me too.
Are you? So yeah. Artie's name, A-R-T-E.
A-R-T-E gets into a lot of words good.
That's right. It does. It says Emmy for Rowan and Martin's Laughing. Oh, we won an Emmy. I'm sorry. I thought he played a character named Emmy. he won an Emmy.
He played the dirty old man on the bench with
Gladys
Hornsby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played the soldier. Remember the Nazi?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah,
remember that character?
But stupid.
but stupid.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was laughing.
That's right.
No, I was only to come up and see my etchings.
That's right.
I was only to come up and see
and
my
etchings. And who's the woman who used to hit him off the head with a pocketbook?
Ruth Buzzy.
Oh, Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy.
Gladys
Hornsby.
I saw a rerun on that. They don't usually show reruns on that. I guess maybe the humor's a little too topical to repeat. I don't know.
You know, it's funny because, you know, there are some, like Jackie Gleason, that show, like the subjects and stuff will be funny forever. But Laugh-In, I saw it one time, maybe about 5 years ago, and it was just so deeply ensconced in the whole political upheaval of the 60s that, you know, it's not really that funny these days.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up. That's too bad.
Everything's too fast and furious.
Russ, what do you think? How old is Artie Johnson?
I'm going to say 62.
62, okay. And Wes?
I'm going to go with 61.
All right, Don?
68.
Okay, what do you think, Norma?
I'm going to say 69.
All right, and Ed?
63.
Jack?
64.
Okay, 62 is right. Russ, excuse me, I'm going to clear my throat again, okay?
All right.
I really have to this time.
Yay!
Oh, that feels good. Oh, that was just so good. Anyway, Russ said 62, so he got that right on the button. How about Lorenzo Lamas, the son of, what's his father's name?
Fernando.
Oh, Fernando Lamas, the one that Billy Crystal does the takeoff on.
Oh, yeah.
You look marvelous. Yeah, and that was the Fernando Lamas takeoff. Lorenzo does not have an accent, but is a good-looking guy, just like his... Well, his mother is his mother Arlene Dahl?
No, his stepmother was...
the swimming lady.
Esther Williams.
No, who was his...
She was his stepmother.
Well, who was his mother?
Arlene Dahl. I think it was.
I think I just said that. Did I just say that?
No, you said Arlene Dahl.
No, it was Arlene Dahl.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of, you know, and she was absolutely magnificent-looking
gorgeous
woman. And his father, good-looking guy. So I guess Lorenzo, what the heck?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, you can just resent him being good-looking. See, well, that's different. I had funny-looking parents. You had good-looking parents. And that naturally, you're good-looking. Sure. What's it to you, fella? I said that to him once.
Did you?
No, I made that up. I didn't say that to him ever. I never met him.
You should have.
Yeah, you could have sent it in a letter.
Yeah.
I could send him a letter. Yeah, like today, a belated birthday card.
Mm-hmm.
Today is his birthday, Lorenzo Lamas. Sure. Good-looking mother, good-looking father, sure. The rest of us are deprived. You ever see my father? He looks just like me. He really does. I look in the mirror, and I think, oh, my God, this is my father's born again and looking at me with that ugly, fat face. Anyway, Ed, how old do you think Lorenzo Lamas is?
Oh, I'm going to say 35.
35, okay. Don, what do you think?
I'd say
31. Norma?
A little older than that, maybe 38.
All right. Jack?
I would say 33.
33. Oh,
33.
Yeah. Okay, Russ? 45. And Wes?
We actually have a llama named Fernando Lama.
That would be natural. Do you actually have a llama?
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Do you have a farm? A lot of llamas?
Yeah, a family farm is in Salisbury. Just one.
Oh, you just have the one llama.
Yeah.
That's your name, Walter, do you?
Yeah, I think that's great. That's funny.
Yeah.
I think he's 37.
Do you take care of the llama?
No, it's actually my sister's farm and my nephews do.
In Salisbury.
Right.
They don't raise llamas, do they, to sell?
No, we do have emus that we raise to sell.
Really?
Yeah.
And what would you do by selling? What would somebody do with an emu if they bought it?
Well, two things right now. They're raising them as herd because the meat is fat-free and tastes like chicken. And there's a gland that... What's that?
No, when you said it tastes like chicken, that's kind of the punchline of every joke.
Yeah, it tastes like chicken.
And it also has a gland that produces a medicinal product.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, that is. And that's in Salisbury?
Right.
Okay, I have to drop by and look at that. Okay, anyway, Lorenzo Lamas, the original one.
I gave you his age. I forgot what I said.
No, he's 38, which is what Norma said.
Oh, wow. I got one right.
Yeah, everybody's pretty much
hit it either very, very close or right on the button. Slim Whitman. Remember Slim Whitman? They were selling his records.
Oh, my, yeah. That,
yeah. Let's see. Let's see what it says about him. A singer. First country performer to play at the London Palladium. Born at, shows you what the English know. Born at Tampa, Florida. On this very day, January 20th.
Are you suggesting the English don't really know country music, Norm?
No, I just think he's probably one of the most boring singers there ever was. No, there are country music singers I think are kind of fun.
He was picked just before Elvis. I think he was involved in the whole Sun Record organization. Yeah.
Would it help you to know his real first two names?
Yes, it would.
Sure.
You don't really know. It won't help you, but you're curious. Otis Dewey Whitman.
Otis Dewey.
Mm. Mm. Otis sounds like a country singer, doesn't it? Otis?
Yeah. Otis Dewey sounds like a country singer.
Yeah, maybe like a New England country singer. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Hi there, I'm Otis Dewey. Otis Dewey Whitman. And I do all these songs about, like Maine, you know, in New Hampshire. And I'd like to sing a few of these songs for you. First of all, I want to have my soup.
why did I, in heaven's name, did I say that?
Yeah. I don't even know where that fits in anything.
Well, New England is famous for soup, of course.
Yeah, that's right. Don, how old would you say Slim Whitman?
What year was he born? No. 76.
76. That's the spirit, man.
Okay. So you have to pause when somebody says 76. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't feel like a complete person without hearing you say that, Jack. Norma, how old do you think?
74.
Okay, Russ?
70.
Okay. Wes?
72.
Ed?
71.
And Jack?
68.
Okay, 72. Oh. He is correct. He's 72. So, Wes, you see, we'll check the scoreboard now. This is always the exciting moment, isn't it? To see who's leading, who's Norma, Russ, and Wes all have two apiece.
Mm.
And Don? Well, the rest of you all have one apiece. Okay.
At least we
everybody
have
was close on that one.
Yeah, everybody has at least one.
Okay.
Okay, speaking of the... you have nothing? Who said that?
I said it's better than nothing.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I mean, you can come... You know, we still got a couple more to go, so even somebody with just one can still win this. Oh, can win this. Heavens knows.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the Endeavor, which has landed...
That's right.
Another astronaut was born on this day, Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Let's see what I can tell you about Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Former astronaut, we knew that. One of the first three men on the moon, and born in Montclair, New Jersey, on January 20th, this very date, okay? Jack, how old do you think? Buzz Aldrin. Why did he call him Buzz, I wonder?
Maybe because he had a buzz haircut, or he made that noise all the time.
Maybe.
That's right. Always buzz by.
Yeah, you know, while you're wagging your tongue, he could be buzzing.
Sure. Could, like, be a big thing in his neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. It could be kind of a musical ensemble of strange noises.
Yep, I could be going... And if we did it in harmony, it'd be kind of nice.
So maybe that's why they sent him to the moon. I was hoping he wouldn't come back.
No sound up there, you know, doing anything you want. Let's see. I'm trying to think. That's 27 years ago, and they landed on the moon, 26 and a half. And I must have been about 35 then, so it'd be just trying to... 60. I'm going to say 61.
61. Okay, Ed?
I'm going to say 55.
And what are you going to say, Wes?
64.
And Russ?
57.
Norma?
58.
Okay, and Don?
66.
66 is exactly right.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so we got a tie, a four-way tie going here.
Wow.
Closer to my age than I thought he was.
Oh, they're going to be talking about this over the hot stove league all through the winter time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. Patricia Neal. Remember Patricia Neal? She had a stroke at one point.
She had a couple of them, I think, didn't she?
But she came back from them, spoke a little haltingly, but not really very bad. I mean, she was pretty good.
I remember she used to do a commercial for perfectly regulated coffee at one point.
Excuse me, I'm begging your pardon. That was, what was that?
She used to do a commercial for perfectly regulated coffee. And I just always remembered her doing that commercial for perfectly percolated coffee in the way she used to do it.
I understand. That was good.
Thank you.
Okay. Patricia Neal. Wes.
I need some help on who she is.
Yeah, she was in a number of movies when she was very young. Later on had the stroke, or two strokes, as Jack says, a couple of strokes. Had trouble speaking for a while after that, but really bounced back. She was really quite an inspiration.
She actually had one of her strokes while she was pregnant and carried her child to term.
I'll just take a shot. I'll say 59.
Okay, 59. And what do you say, Norma?
I'm going to go with 70. I hope I'm wrong. I hope she isn't as old.
What do you say? You hope you're wrong?
I hope she isn't 70.
Oh, I see.
I don't know why I'm saying
it. What was that breeze?
It was like a hurricane there. Suddenly took over in the air. Yeah. When it's here.
Don, what do you think?
65.
Okay. And Ed?
68.
Russ?
Oh, I'm going to say... I'm not going to take the same one. I'm going to say 66.
Okay. And what do you think, Jack?
73.
Okay. Norma was right on the button. She is 70.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay,
she was in Fountainhead with...
what's that?
Gary Cooper, too. She was in Fountainhead with Gary Cooper and in HUD with the good one, Paul Newman.
Oh, Paul Newman was in that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We have just one more.
Caught up to the guys, huh?
You're ahead. No, you got three correct answers, so you're okay. Russ, Wes, Don, have two apiece. Yeah. I'm checking our electrical scoreboard up here. Yeah,
the tabulator.
Yeah, I just was about to run through the scores when I did a rerun on Ray Anthony's birthday for the crowd out there in left field. That's why I was hesitating. Shelley Fabares. Is that her name? Is that the way you pronounce it? Fabares, where does that sound like?
Fabre.
What's that?
Fabre.
Like her aunt Nan.
She's a niece to Nanette Fabre.
But they have different spelling.
They spell it differently. She spells it F-A-B-A-R-E-S. Does she pronounce it Fabre?
Yeah.
She does?
Yep. Shelley Fabre, yep.
Yeah. That's funny. Maybe they spelled it wrong in this listing here.
She was in that show with Donna Reed. She was Donna Reed's daughter in the Donna Reed show.
That's right. And she was Mary on the Donna Reed show. She was in Coach. Oh, and it says Coach.
Yeah.
Sang Johnny Angel. Is she a regular on that show, or did she just...
Oh, yeah. She's the girlfriend of the coach, and I think they're married now.
Yeah, she was also in the later seasons of One Day at a Time as the nasty business partner. To the woman.
Oh. At the what woman is that?
The little redhead woman, Bonnie Franklin.
Oh, Bonnie Franklin.
Bonnie Franklin.
Oh, okay, now I know. I know who she is.
Okay,
now
we know. And she pronounces it Fabre, Shelley Fabre.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Fabares always sounds like a Yiddish obscene word. Like, you call me that, I say a Fabares and all your children. But Fabre is a pretty name. It doesn't seem that they carry the same weight.
maybe it's a tropical bird, an ancestor of the emu. I have a Faberis. No, that doesn't sound like it. That doesn't sound like that at all. Don't make me say those things.
Don, it tastes like chicken.
That's right. A Faberis tastes like chicken. That's right. What do you think? This whole program is just...
I'd say 38.
I'm sorry, 38 for Shelley Fabre. Shelley Fabre, okay. And Norma?
I'd say 48.
Okay. Russ?
44.
All right. And Wes?
53.
She looks great.
That's what?
She looks great.
For what? For your age, 48 or 53?
Whatever her age, whatever it is.
Whatever her age is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, she is an attractive lady. Ed LeClaire, what do you think?
52.
Ed says 52. And what do you say, Jack?
50.
50. Okay. 54.
Wow.
Is correct. So Wes.
Wow.
Wes is 52.
Fantastic.
So we have a
tie.
We
have a tiebreaker,
yeah, we do.
Here.
We have a three-way tie. Not a three-way tie, two-way tie between Norma and Wes.
Wow.
Okay, let me see what we can do to break the tie. Okay.
I'm about the age of Fernando Lama.
Guess how old you are. No.
Let me see. Let me just see. Okay. I don't think you'd care to guess the U.S. Senator from Georgia.
How about an event?
An event? I think that would be good. Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see. What did I do in my event calendar? I'm just so darn busy here with all this stuff. One moment, please. We are looking for an event. Meantime, the trouble is in your set. And I have a brother-in-law who can fix that radio of yours right off. Let's see. I'm sorry. No, I just had that here. Isn't that crazy? That was acting the way I did that. Oh, here it is. Okay, here it is. An event. Okay. It's funny, they have the today's highlight in history is 100 years ago, on January 20th, 1896, comedian George Burns was born in New York City. Okay, we'll give you something else. Let's see. Let me just see. A lot of people inaugurated as president on this date, so that would be easier to guess the year, probably. The U.S. Senate was on this very day, January 20th. The U.S. Senate approved an agreement to lease Pearl Harbor in Hawaii as a naval base. Obviously, Hawaii was not a state at that time. So you'll have to go back to before it was a state. I don't know if that gives you a clue or not. But what year would that have been, the agreement to lease Pearl Harbor? Don?
I have no idea. 1940?
Okay, 1940, you say. And what do you say, Norma?
I don't know. I was going to say 38.
1938. And Russ?
1938.
Wes?
I'm going to say 36.
1936. Ed?
I'm going to say 1908.
1908. And Jack?
I'll go with 38.
Yeah, actually, it was 1887.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So the closest was Ed. So that doesn't help anything at all. So I think maybe we'll take the closest between Norma and Wes, just for solving all this. Norma said 38, and Wes said 36. So he was a little closer. So I think he just beat you out, Norma. I don't know how else to do this.
It's okay. It's a lot of fun anyway.
Yeah, and we really don't have time. We don't have time for another tiebreaker because it's coming up to the news.
No big deal.
Okay. Hey, thanks all of you. You're fun.
And hang in there, Wes.
Thanks
so
very much,
we can get
Norm.
The name and address, and Ed will be talking to you.
Have
night,
to
everybody.
All
right, Norm. Take it easy.
Okay, you too, Don, and
good
you
night.
Too, Norma. Thank
good
you.
Norm. This is Russ.
Okay, hey, Russ, thank you. You take care, too.
We'll be talking to
you. Okay, right, and let's see. Oh, and oh, Jack,
yeah.
Thank you, as always, very, very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
We'll be listening for your next report to see how the ice is and where the people are underwater and all of that. You're performing a real service, and we here in the upper echelons of Westinghouse really appreciate it a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we try and do our part for the community.
You're a wonderful person.
Thank you.
I'm afraid that today is your last day here, however.
Well,
I hate to say that even as a joke. I've heard that too many times myself.
Gabe Kaplan used to do a great thing about Ed Sullivan's last day in the air. He didn't know about it, and he came on drunk. Yeah, you want to know what's going on in there? You want to know what's on tonight's show? Look at you, TV guides.
I'll talk to you in a little while, big guy.
Excuse me. Please like, subscribe, and share, and let's make 2022 the biggest and best year yet for Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness. Let's close that vault and ride the radio waves home. For the New England Journal of Medicine, the Tobin Bridge, Grumpy Insomniacs, Notable Puddling, Wagging Tongues, Third Floor Walk-Ups, Salisbury, Mass, Emus and Llamas, the WBZ Library and Broadcast Museum, Mummies, Junky, Tasteless, and Tacky Gifts, Otis Dewey Whitman, The Moon, The Tropical Faberus Bird and Yiddish Curse, Ed LeClaire, Jack Hart, and the sensuous, throat-clearing Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt.